Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. And when I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1 and 2 of 159.
To read from God's holy word, which can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there from the 5th chapter. But before that, the Ten Commandments as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 5, beginning with verse 27 to the end. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often, and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast, while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy greatness is unsearchable, but we do not see it, we do not feel it. We are as those that are dead. By nature, going over this world without care, without concern for thee, without love to thee, living out our short life in service of sin, of this world, and of the prince of this world. O Lord, we have heard it in these moments. how that thou art able to speak. It was so simple. As it came out of thy mouth, follow me. But a great power did go with those words to enter into the heart of a man who also did serve this world, who did sit at the receipt of custom, who did desire all the goods of this world. In one moment, thou didst change his heart. He arose, he left all, and he followed thee. O Lord, thou art in heaven, and thy power that is the same today as it ever was, and thou sittest this day on the throne of thy glory, we beseech thee that thou would show thyself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For we are entered into thy house. It is thy sanctuary. It is called by thy name. It is an institution of thee. And it is for a purpose, that thou may gather thy church. Oh, we have no power from our side to change our heart, to change our life. Oh, thou hast all the power. Oh, God, Lord of heaven and earth, our life that is so quickly going by. It is short. It is as the grass. It flourishes one day. The wind passeth over it. And it is gone. We know not the day of our death. Our life that is so serious. We beseech thee, O Lord, when we are together in this morning, in the way of thy providence, in the way of thy great goodness, that thy spirit may also come. That thy spirit may also be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. That thy word may be sanctified. That it may enter with that same power into the heart of many. That we may be given life, spiritual life from the dead. Will thy name not be honored? Will it not receive all the glory beginning here already in the time and in perfection forever? Will thy Son not receive the glory? Will he not be magnified? The labors he has performed, his active, his passive obedience. O Lord, will all thy wisdom and not be magnified when there will be those that will say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Lord, remember those that are old, for they have many fears as their life that draws nigh unto the grave, that they may receive also a place, a place by thee in their secret chambers, that thou wouldst hear their cry from heaven, thy dwelling place. And when the floods lift up their waves, and when the fears they are increasing, and when the seriousness that is also increasing day by day, that thou wouldst save their souls when death draws nigh. Remember those that are afflicted and sick, or those that lie in the hospital. Former member had surgery in this week. Thou knowest her place. Wilt thou help? Wilt thou heal her? And wilt thou also visit her soul where that she is, when thou hast spared her once again? Wilt thou make all things well? The children, the sickness, those also that were in the hospital or in their own homes? And thou dost make it yet well. Humble us under thy goodness. Give humble hearts unto parents. But give us also to receive those callings that thou bringest unto us, that it may enter our heart, that we may realize the seriousness of our life for ourselves and for our children, that we may be given true repentance, to turn from all our evil ways, that we may seek thee while thou art yet to be found. Remember all our children and our youth. It is thy holy day. Then it may be that there is no desire to come up unto thy house. They are taken by the hand of father and of mother. But thou art able to make it so different. Even as the man after thine own heart, of whom we can read in thy word, even in the days of his youth, singing unto thee, O Lord, draw them, spoil them for all this world, that they may experience something of thy love, the drawing thereof, that they may also follow thee. Remember all those that bring thy word. It is thy holy day. It is largely disregarded in our nations in which we live. Oh, that thou wouldst turn us back again to thy law, to thy testimonies. Help thy servant, thy servants, wherever they bring thy word over the whole world. Lord, give thy word free course. Open the hearts. For the first time, but also by renewal. For thou knowest all thy children where that they are, whether in the beginning of that life, or those that have become a little advanced. O Lord, thou knowest all the conditions of thy people. We do not know them, but thou knowest where that they are, and thou art able to look them up. Thou art able to give to them that direction and that instruction which we cannot give. Use us, yet as a tool in thy holy fingers. Be with us in this morning hour. Wilt thou help us to bring thy word? Give it a place in the heart each of each and every one, young and old. And wilt thou supply for all our needs? For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 22, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How long wilt thou forget me? O Lord, thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me? While darkness hides thy face, how long shall griefs distress me and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me and triumph in their might? We announce that student Whitford hopes to be in our midst in this afternoon. There will be a consistory meeting, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday evening. And the last collection today is for the periodicals. Psalter 22, all stanzas. congregation, our text can be found in the portion that was read to you, Luke 5, and thereof the 33rd to the 39th verse. We will read it once again, for Luke 5, verses 33 through 39. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. So far the words of our text. New wine for the children of the bridegroom while the bridegroom is with them. First, a precious doctrine. We see that in the first three verses. Second, a plain illustration. And we see that in the last verses, and we wish to afterwards close with a few words of application. New wine for the children of the bridegroom while the bridegroom is with them. First, a precious doctrine. Second, a plain illustration. And they said unto him, who is that? They. Because if you read in the Gospel according to Matthew, then he says that it was the disciples of John who have asked the question. And here in Luke, we read that it is the Pharisees and the scribes. Thus, what do you think, children? Do you think that is then a contradiction in the Word of God? That cannot be. It is evident that the scribes and the Pharisees, as well as the disciples of John, they do come together. You say, how can that be? Do the disciples of John and the Pharisees actually belong together? Well, they come together here over a practice that both of them have practiced together. That was fasting. The Pharisees, they fasted very often. We can read in God's Word in the Old Testament that there was actually one fast only that was prescribed by the Lord, that was connected to the Day of Atonement. After the exile, then the Jews themselves, they have introduced many fasts, and the Pharisees, they have very strictly observed these fasts, and they have commended them also unto others. That was belonging to their way of holiness. The apostles, John the Baptist himself, he also taught his disciples to fast. But he taught his disciples to fast with a different motive with a different purpose. Because John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance. That is, the change of heart, a humiliation of the heart. And he has taught this fasting as a means for this humiliation. Satan has a desire to make a division among those that belong together. The Pharisees, they evidently have desired that the disciples of John would come on their side, and they seek to gain them through the outward observances that were common between them. Thus, the disciples of John, when they hear this from the Pharisees, they come to the Lord Jesus with an honest question. But the Pharisees, they come to the Lord Jesus with the same question in a dishonest way. Pharisees and the scribes, we can read that in the Word many times. They are as sly as foxes. How will the Lord Jesus answer this question? Because we would say, humanly speaking, that the Lord Jesus must either condemn the practice of the disciples of John now, or he must condemn the practice of his own disciples. But Christ, he has told his own disciples that they must be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And so he also was himself. He has left the disciples of John in their practice untouched. He has defended his own disciples, and he has condemned the practice of the Pharisees. The church has a protector. He is an almighty protector. He is an all-wise protector. Specifically for those who are not able to protect and to defend themselves. What answer does he give? And he said unto them, "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" What does Christ do? The Pharisees, they speak about fasting. The Lord Jesus, he begins to speak about feasting. That is, he begins to speak about a wedding feast. He calls himself the bridegroom. He says, "I have come in order that I may now take my bride." And his disciples, he calls the children of the bride chamber. They were the friends of the bride. They were the friends of the bridegroom. And thus, they are invited unto this wedding feast. Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks about a special day. The Lord Jesus, he speaks about a very special season. That is the day that the bridegroom appears. The day of the wedding. When he comes to take his bride unto himself. What kind of a day is this? That is not a day that is fit for fasting. No, it is just the opposite. That is a day that is fit for feasting. Thus he says, "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them?" He says, this is actually impossible. This would be something that would be seen to be so strange, and not only strange, but it would be so to the displeasure of the bridegroom, because that bridegroom He has invited those guests to that wedding for a reason. That is not that they would mourn. That would not be that they may fast. No, but he invites them in order to that they may rejoice with him. That is, that they may eat with him, that they may drink with him, that they may be merry with him at the taking of his own bride. The coming of Christ into this world, that was a season of great joy. That season is now just behind us. Together we have commemorated that season. And also even our children, they receive that perception in that commemoration of the joy that is associated with the coming of Christ into this world. Indeed, the church of the Lord has waited. They have waited for 4,000 years for Christ to come into this world that he may take his bride unto himself. But the Pharisees were not happy. The Pharisees were not glad. The Pharisees did not believe it. Indeed, the Pharisees, they have evidenced a certain jealousy in their heart because of the gladness of the disciples of Christ. And they had a desire that they would take away the gladness and the rejoicing that lived in their hearts. But the bridegroom, he will not allow it. The church, that church is not allowed to mourn. That church is not allowed to fast in the day of his coming. And indeed, the disciples, they cannot be sorrowful. Not while the bridegroom is with them. Why not? They cannot be sorrowful because of his very presence. The Lord Jesus fed them. He fed them with meat and drink. They may eat out of his hand. That was not only for the things of this life, for the natural body, but that was also for the need of their soul. And they may walk with him day by day in this world. And through all the trials and tribulations that they may have in this world that are connected to this life, and all the trials and sorrows that would have lived within their hearts also, they may receive strength, they may receive courage, they may receive comfort day by day in their daily walk with Christ. When they may lay out before him their need, when he may speak unto their souls those words that were so fitting, so suitable unto them. So that the disciples, along with that entire true church of God in the time that they did there live, they may hear him speak, we read, as no man speak. Thus they did say, what new thing is this? What new doctrine is this? With authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits that they come out of them. His word that was with power, they felt it, they experienced it in their own soul, and they may enjoy the sweetness thereof day by day. Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Thus, Christ speaks here about seasons. seasons in the life of God's children. Thus, he says there are days when that people are not able to fast. There are days when that people are not able to mourn. But that does not mean that there will not be other days in their life. The Lord Jesus has warned his own disciples as time went on in those blessed 3 years that he may be with his disciples. And the closer that he came to the time of his giving of himself, the more that he began to warn them and to speak to them about other days. He spoke to them about his suffering. He spoke to them about his death. He says that there are days coming in which they would not rejoice, but in which they would mourn and weep. And why? Because, he said, I go away from you. Thus, he spoke about the days that we read of here, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. And thus we can read, for we know the history. So it came to pass in those days, when the Lord Jesus lay in the grave. Indeed, they were days when the bridegroom was taken away from them. They were days wherein they did fast. Why? They were days wherein all the hopes and all the expectations, even though that it was foretold by Christ, all the hopes and all the expectations that lived in their soul, they were in those days dashed to pieces. So that there was actually nothing left of them. We can read in the early morning hours of that first day of the week that the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they mourned and wept. Or how they did speak to one another as they walked, and we read they were sad. We thought that it had been he. That was the former thought, and the present thought that is now so different. Thus, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. They will come. But Christ says that is in the future. But they are not these days. No, he says today it is different. Today the bridegroom is with his church. And there is no man that is able to bring that bridegroom in these days into bondage. Because in this day they may enjoy his presence. In this day they may enjoy his communion. In this day they may eat, they may drink, they may be merry. Parents, when you as parents have crosses, when you have afflictions, when you have burdens, then you are not sharing those burdens with your little children. You may go into your inner closet. There you may try to lay those burdens before the Lord. And your children, they are on the outside of that room. They know nothing about what is taking place in that room. There they go about their play and their jollity that is belonging unto that young life. We would not take that away from them. There is a time that the young church, that is not able to bear the burdens that will be laid upon them in the later years. It is a time of their infancy. Neither would the Lord take away from that people that time, that blessed time, that those burdens are not yet laid upon them. And so the Lord Jesus gives instruction to the disciples of John with great tenderness. But then he also adds a plain illustration. That is our second thought. And he spake also a parable unto them. A parable. In this parable, then we read that the Lord Jesus continues to speak about this wedding feast by way of illustration. He speaks about two things that belong to a wedding. One of them is the wedding garment, and the other is the wine that belongs to that wedding feast. Thus, these are not two parables, but they are actually one. They belong together. We can read that Joseph, he said to Pharaoh that the dream that was doubled to you twice. Why? He says, because this thing is established by God, and that it will shortly come to pass. So we read that often in the Word of God. When the Lord, He is doubling, when He is repeating Himself, when He says, verily, verily, He says, truly, truly, then He speaks of things that need to be reassured in the life of His church. And He spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that is taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. The Lord Jesus, we know He sits here at the feast that was given to Him by Levi. Levi had a heart that was full of love to the Lord Jesus. That was only by two words. How the Lord is able to make our heart to change in one moment. That ought to give to us young people a hope that is not to be found in us. Because you learn in catechism classes, you learn about the doctrines of the Word of God, you learn about election, you learn about reprobation. Those are doctrines that the Lord reveals to us in His Word. Perhaps, because that is so with some, that they receive it in discouragement. Why? Because they say that I then am not able to do anything. So it is. What we do not understand, what we do not realize, is that our heart is so rebellious that we will not do anything. For no man will come unto Christ of himself. And when there was no election, there had been no salvation. Hear the power that goes out of Christ to change a man's heart when he is sitting and when he is serving the world and there is nothing but the world in his heart. Do you say that too? Do you ever feel that? that there is nothing but the world in my heart? Does this ever make you discouraged? That you are not able to rip that world out of your heart? Then we hear the encouragement out of the Word of God that from the side of the Lord there is power, and not only power, but a willingness to speak unto man who is living out his life in evil, in vanity, in sin. Follow me. Levi was a rich man. All the riches of Levi did not belong to Levi. They belonged to the Lord. Because everything in this world belongs to the Lord. Levi was but an instrument. Levi was now brought under the Lord. And all that was Levi's is now brought into the service of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he did not typically sit with those that were high in this world, but those that were low in this world. That is, with publicans, with sinners. So we see round the Lord Jesus a people, because Matthew, he had invited a great company of people, we read. And so there were those there of, we would say, of every class. The Lord Jesus, he preached, we can read, the gospel to the poor. And Christ then, he takes an opportunity. We know that he has spoken about a wedding feast. How that men by nature, they reject the callings. He has sent his servants into the highways and the byways, those that were in the streets to come in. And so we see such people. Matthew, he has no reservations about bringing such to his feast. That is what the Spirit of the Lord does give in the heart of a man, because the Lord, he is no respecter of persons. The Lord Jesus, he continues by speaking about this feast. And then he may see those that are sitting in that feast with their poor clothing. Then he may have a visible representation also for what he is now going to say. He is accused. We heard it. He is accused by the Pharisees of eating and drinking with the publicans and the sinners. He is accused of feasting. Feasting with publicans and sinners. And he takes an opportunity. He says, look now at this people. Look now at their clothing. And if you would take now some of that clothing, you say, we need to fix up that clothing, put a new patch, children. Maybe sometimes your mother, because you have a hole in your clothes, then she puts a patch in your clothes. And so the Lord Jesus speaks about such a patch. He says, if you will take a new piece of cloth and you will patch up that old garment, what will happen? He says, it will be made worse. Why? Well, because that patch is new. And if your mother ever takes you to the store and you have to try on some clothes, you say, maybe, mother, that is a little too big. She says, yes, that is right. But we take it home and we put it in the wash, and what happens? Then it shrinks, right? The Lord Jesus speaks about this. He says that new piece of cloth that is going to shrink. And if you have that all connected to the old cloth, you have sewed that nice in, and then you begin to wash it, and that new piece that shrinks, what is going to happen? Then the old cloth is going to rip. And so he says that rend that you have in that old garment, that is going to become even worse. There is going to be new holes in that old garment. No, he says you cannot mend those old garments with a new piece of cloth. You cannot make that old garment better. No, you need to give to those wedding guests, the children of the bride chamber, you must give to them a brand new garment. That is now what the bridegroom is going to do. He is not just going to mend it. No, but he is going to give them a new garment. And no man putteth a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine burst the bottles and spill, and the bottles perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Thus, there is a repetition. It is now with wine. Wine that also belongs, he says, to this wedding. And children, once again, you have seen wine probably, and the wine that is in a bottle. But the wine that was in those days was not in the same kind of bottles that we have. But in order to have a bottle, they would use a skin of an animal. So when they killed that animal, then they would not break the skin. They would leave the skin all whole together. And they would clean out all the inwards of that animal and sew that skin up. And they found that that was waterproof. They could put wine in that skin, and the wine that would not come out. Until when? Well, after some time, you read about the Gibeonites, they spoke about the old bottles. They were the old skins. After some time, because of the sun, because of the weather, because of the age, then they would become very brittle. And those bottles, they would begin to leak. They were old bottles. Were they still good? Well, if they were not too old, they were still okay for the old wine. But they were no good for the new wine. And why not? Well, new wine, that is different. New wine is fermenting. New wine that has in it a greater energy. And because of that fermenting, that would make a pressure in those old skins, those old bottles, and it would make those old bottles to break so that those bottles could no longer contain that wine. What did they need? Well, just like that new garment. They needed new bottles that were sufficient to contain that new wine and that it may retain its usefulness. Thus far the parable. What does Christ say with it? The scribes and the Pharisees, they wish to bring the disciples of the Lord Jesus again into bondage. They wish to have them to be serving the ceremonial law. Christ, in this parable, abrogates the ceremonial law. He brings it to an end. What does he say? He says that law of ceremonies had its place. It had its place in the dispensation of the shadows, when they were all pointing unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was, for that time, a very fitting, it was, for that time, a very good thing. But, he says, actually, it was a law of bondage. Paul speaks about children and servants. And a child, children, you are an heir. If your father and your mother would pass away, then you would receive the inheritance of your father and your mother because that you are a child. If you had in your house also a servant, that servant would receive no inheritance like you because he is not a child, and the inheritance that belongs to the children. But Paul, he says, that as long as you are a child, you do not differ at all from that servant. But you are under tutors and you are under governors until that time that is appointed to you of your father. When your father says you do not have to be under a teacher, a tutor, a governor anymore. Paul, he likens that. He says that when we were children, he says, we were under the bondage of the elements. That is, when the church was a child, then it was under the ceremonial law. But he says, when the fullness of time was come, then God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to deliver them who were under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. What does Christ say? Christ now says, I am come. He says, it is the fullness of the time. He says, it is a new dispensation. It is a dispensation where my word that shall go out unto all the world. It will not only be for the Jewish people, it will also be for the Gentiles. And it is not fitting that we should now force that new young church into the bondage of the elements, that we would force them into the use of the law of ceremonies. That was good for the old, but it is not good, it is not suitable for the new church. The law, the ceremonial law that has made a separation, it was given to the Jews, and it was a wall of partition, we can read, between them and the Gentiles. And now the time has come, Christ says, that that middle wall of partition that is to be broken down, and all shall be received by me. And now to force that new dispensation with its inherent joyfulness, with its inherent gladness, into that old system, that would be the same as to force the children of the bridegroom, the guests at a wedding, in that time to fast while they are sitting at the feast. What has that now to say to us? Let us sing first. 283:1-2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 283. Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As it was in the days of Christ, so it is also now. That is, that there are times, there are seasons in the life of God's people. By regeneration, there is a change of state. That means that there is a change, a legal change, in their relationship to the justice of God. That is, by the righteousness of Christ, as it is seen by God Himself. That state is either a state of guilt, or it is the state of acquittal. Thus the Lord, He acquits His people in Christ, already in regeneration. That cannot change, because the Lord is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. But the condition of that people, as they go from day to day in this world, that certainly does change. Thus, there are times, there are seasons in the life of God's people. And it is not different with the coming of Christ into this world than with the coming of Christ into the heart of a man. That is, when the Lord is revealing Himself unto His people. Because before that time, then there is mourning. The time before His coming is attended by fasting, by an affliction of their soul. Why? Because of sin in the absence of Christ. Then it cannot be anything else than a time of mourning. But when He comes, that is a time that is attended by a rejoicing. It is attended by a feasting that is inevitable. It cannot be any different. And why can it not be different? What is the cause of that rejoicing? Well, then they see something of the abrogation of the law, of the fulfillment of that law. So that the bondage of the law, so that the curse of the law would be taken away from them. Thus, it is a time of feasting. It is a time of new wine that is fermenting with new and blessed energies. That is the rejoicing that Bunyan speaks of. Though it can be attended with trembling, yet the rejoicing that he is speaking of when Christian comes in at that wicked gate. Do we know something? Do we know even a little something of this season of rejoicing after a season of fasting? There are two sorts of persons that will bring questions about such a rejoicing. The first is the hypocrite. He has a form of religion, but he denies, we read, the power thereof. Thus, he has the custom. He has perhaps even more than the custom. Perhaps he has even the affection of the heart by times. But he is a complete stranger to this joy. He knows nothing of it, and hinder or take it away even from those who may enjoy it. That is, he would take it away from the poor and from the needy. Why? He says, you do not deserve it. He says, you have not merited it. What does Christ say of this people? We read it here. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. Actually, in the original language, it is more the word good. The old is good. There is, seems not actually to be a comparison as the word better. That is the only time that that word in the Bible is translated better. But good. The old is good. We are used to the old. The old that is mellowed with age. It is good enough. We are satisfied with it. Thus we have a people that have found their life in their own hand, as in the city of morality, whose conscience is quieted, as they may lead a civil life. The old wine, that old covenant, that is good, it is satisfactory, we have no reason to look for anything different. Now there is also another people, a second people. They are also have that same question, but they have that question out of a different heart. They have that question out of a different motive. Who are they? They are the disciples of John the Baptist. Who are the disciples of John the Baptist? They are those who have been brought into a way of repentance by the Spirit of the Lord. They are those who are like Zacchaeus. Half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man, I restore him fourfold. Who are those people? They are people who have received a tender conscience. They are people who have received a tender heart. A heart for the laws of the Lord. A heart for the ordinances of the Lord. Our fathers, they used the expression, they are a people who would not step over a straw. That is, they are so careful concerning the commandments of the Lord, the institutions of the Lord. And why? Because of the love of the Lord that is living in their heart. But they are still strangers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the disciples of John the Baptist. They are those who are yet under bondage. And sometimes that people, they are looking at the disciples of Christ, and they may hear them, and they may see something of that peace. They may see something of the rest. They may see something of that joy that may sometimes shine from them. And they receive a jealousy. But they do not understand how that can be. They do not understand the brokenness of the old covenant. They have not yet been brought to a full end of their own righteousness, of their own strength, of their own wisdom. David desired to build a house to the Lord. What did the Lord say? He says, thou didst well, that it was in thine heart. But thou shalt not build a house to my name. That belonged to Solomon. And now so it is also with that people. They are brought into that way of repentance. in a strict conformity to that holy law of God. And what does the Lord say of this? He says, thou doest well. Thou doest well that it is in thine heart. Where does that come from? That actually comes from me. But, oh, you are strangers yet. You cannot enter in that way. That is impossible. You are a stranger yet of my Son. You are a stranger yet of that new covenant. You are a stranger yet of that new wine. You are a stranger yet of this blessed rejoicing. Moses cannot bring you into Canaan. Moses, he has to die on this side. And that joy, when that people will go over the Jordan, that will be led by Joshua. Those people, they will go in with Jesus. And thus those questions by that young church. But there are those that know something of what that rejoicing is. But there will also for them come other times, the Lord Jesus says. Can ye make the children of the bride chamber mourn while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Thus the bridegroom, he is not always with his church in the same way. That is, he is not always with them with his power. He is not always with them feelingly and believingly. One day it shall be that he shall be with them all eternity. Then they shall have a blessed communion. Then they shall never depart from him. But that is not life here below. Christ says, my people, you cannot advance in that way. You cannot go from a child to a young man to a father in grace in that way. Because children, when you are young, your mother never leaves you, right? But when you are older, well, then sometimes your mother goes away and you must be by yourself. That belongs to an older age. But then you know, because you are older, you know your mother, well, she will come back. You look forward to that. Your father, he will come back. But that is belonging to those who are of an older age. Growth in grace that is obtained by an ever deeper knowledge of ourselves. And that is something that needs to be learned by experience. The church, they must learn what is the foundation, what is the rock. And that is not lying in the sweetness of the manifestations that they may experience, especially in that time of first love. No. But the foundation that is lying in the bitter sufferings and death of his only begotten Son, because of the good pleasure of the Father, and proceeding all out of his eternal love. And the church, they must lose those sweet manifestations, not altogether, but they must lose them as a ground. They must lose them as a foundation, that their feet, they may be set instead upon that solid rock that is a bitter way. Christ, he says, then shall they mourn in those days when they think that they have now lost everything. And when they say, what has now become of what I thought was the work of the Lord in my life? But the end of this way, that is peace. No, they do not mourn forever, because he will rise again. He will appear in their soul, and then in his victory over death, over hell, and the grave. And then they will understand why that he had to be taken away from them, that he may appear unto them again to the salvation of their soul. Congregation, what do we know? What do we know of such times and seasons? Are we a complete stranger to what we may read in God's holy word? The rejoicing of God's church, that is by moments, that is by short moments here below. But they are foretastes. They are foretastes of an eternal feasting. Thus, those are that are not strangers of those foretastes of the beginning, they also will not be strangers of that eternal feasting, though they may have many fears that it will be just the opposite. Oh, do you desire something of this new wine? By nature, we do not. By nature, we are satisfied with the old. We say the old is good. The old covenant is good. Oh, the Lord spoil it. The Lord make it like the quails in the wilderness. The Lord make it like the pottage of the sons of the prophets, that you would spew it out of your mouth, and that you would desire that which is new. Oh, if just the taste, by the taste of that new wine, that people cannot fast, ask them. And when that faith may be brought into exercise, then there is no sorrowing. Oh, if by just the taste that people cannot fast, then what shall that eternal feasting be for that people? Then there will be no sorrow there. But we cannot tell you what that shall be, because it will have to be known only by experience as all of the Lord's work. Oh, that we may seek to know it, that we may know it to all eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach, lead, and guide us into all thy truth. Remember thy people, for they also can have so many questions when the bridegroom is taken away from them. But we read it in thy holy word. Thou sayest it unto them, and it shall not be forever. Wilt thou give to them courage? Wilt thou give to them a cry to thee that may be answered by thee? And wilt thou come unto them again? O, restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. Look upon us further in this day, that we may acknowledge thee for all thou hast given in this morning hour. Wilt thou help the student in this afternoon? Thou knowest all his needs, physically, and thou knowest also mentally and in his soul. Oh, be near on his right, on his left. Feed us also with new and old things out of thy holy law, that it may be good to be together in thy house. Remember also when there will be a sale, a mission sale in this week. Lord, thou knowest all the needs also for our mission. Wilt thou make it well? Wilt thou give prosperity? And wilt thou give a prayer also for them? Keep us, forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 92, 3 and 8. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In his salvation I rejoice. To him my heart will praise accord, and bless his name with thankful voice. 3 and 8 of Psalter 92. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.